happy birthday twice if you want to. But you got to scrub those hands. You've got to interlace your fingers and scrub. Scrub your fingertips, you know, that touches everything from buttons to elevator buttons, everything else. Wash the back and the front of your hands. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for the whole community to stop community spread. We have to keep each other safe in this very dire time. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook, 6 o'clock time for Off the Wall. Thank you. let's fade it down here. It's another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I am joining you tonight.
Yeah, what a night. We've been running around like crazy because, well, you might have heard we had a blizzard. This is a good winter. I'm the first to say this is a good winter. I approve.
It's worthy of approving.
Mm-hmm. Two snowstorms so far. One in December.
And more on the way.
We didn't get any in January. Technically, it waited till February. This is now February 2nd. Hey, it's Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day.
It's been Groundhog Day for like a year.
It's Groundhog Day, everybody! Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. What kind of a world do we live in where nobody cares about Groundhog Day?
It's just too heavily ironic.
Wait a minute. What was the animal that destroyed my sunchoke? Was that a groundhog? Was that...
Yeah.
Bastards. You know what? I don't care about Groundhog Day. They can all rot in the ground for all I care. Along with my sunchokes. This year will be better. This year will be better. But, yeah, okay, so we got a blizzard. And we seem to have gotten through it. No power outages yet, although some people weren't so lucky. we did have an adventure with our heating situation. As you may remember, we have a new indoor fuel tank now. And that means that we can see the gauge, how much we have left. And we discovered that we had nothing left, or almost nothing. So we called the oil company over the weekend and said, hey, you know what? There's this big snowstorm coming. You might want to come and fill it before that happens. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have you set for Tuesday. Like, yeah, okay, you know that's not going to work because there's a blizzard coming. So maybe come before that so that we have oil and can heat ourselves during the blizzard. And there was this audible gasp, sort of audible. I mean, it was a silence. And the solemn voice on the other end of the phone said, we don't deliver on Sunday. We don't deliver on Sunday. We're too busy worshiping our God to go out and take care of our customers who are about to freeze their asses off in a blizzard where they will not be accessible again for who knows how long. Because, you know, roads don't get plowed all that often. Sometimes they don't get plowed at all. Try as we might, we could not get them to make an exception for it. They could answer the phone. I don't know what the point is. They can answer the phone and sympathize and say, oh, well, yeah, that's too bad. But we can't make a delivery because it's Sunday. Where are these crazy habits come from? Yeah, okay, I get it's Sunday. I get that you're usually closed. But when you know you're going to be closed on Monday and Tuesday, maybe do something on Sunday to alleviate that situation. But no, you just can't reason. You just can't reason when religious zealotry takes over, which is what this is. So how are we here today? Well, because, Kyle, you're very clever and you know how these things work. And there's a little secret that home heating oil is actually diesel. So all we had to do was go to the gas station with what do they call those? I don't even know what you call them. That's how ignorant I am.
Fuel containers.
There you go. A couple of 5-gallon fuel containers and fill those up and just basically pour them into our new fuel tank. And
except we're paying all the highway taxes.
That's the thing. Yeah. Now, you may not know this, but it's cheaper to buy that kind of fuel if you're putting it into your furnace. It's dyed red, right? It's a special color so that I don't know who is going to inspect this exactly, but someone could inspect it and say, aha, you're avoiding highway taxes by putting home heating fuel into your diesel vehicle. And the evidence is right there because it'll be red and you'll have nothing to say.
And it stains parts and stuff too.
Does it do that? Wow.
Yeah, so you'd be like pointed out as a culprit. Maybe
it's like if you're robbing a bank and the money explodes. It's like that.
Potentially, yeah. It's got the little dye thing. Yeah, it's effective in enforcing the usage policies since those fuels are somewhat interchangeable. But in a pinch, it's worth just handling the delivery yourself on a smaller, albeit a much smaller scale, and a lot of people, I think, have been doing this. I've seen other people filling up, probably for generators and so forth.
Oh, no, wait, you're going back to the other. No, I was talking about using home heating fuel for cars because it's cheaper.
Right, but it can be used for off-road as well. Okay. And
but we did the opposite. We used the car fuel for the home heating oil because we didn't have a delivery.
Correct.
So we paid more.
Yeah.
And we have non-dyed fuel in our system. Not that anybody cares.
Right. And think like construction equipment. That would be like off-road stuff that would not have to have highway fuel. Anyway.
Well, so we were clever. And in fact, we've had to make our way to the gas station a few times. We discovered something, too. In making one of these trips, actually two of these trips, we made, I think, a total of three trips the other day. Where we basically filled up two containers, went back, filled up our furnace, or put it into our furnace, just a fraction of what it can hold, went back again, did the same thing. Turns out, if you do that three times, if you use your credit card to buy gas three times within an hour, it flags something, and your credit card gets shut off. At least at that gas station, it does, because the notice on the pump said "come inside." Well, it didn't say that. It said,
"Pay inside."
Pay inside. Well, which means come inside. And you were handling it, and you very smartly did not want to go inside.
No. But yeah, it's like they can tell that you're in a situation that's difficult, and they just
unusual
pour salt in the wound. Yeah.
Well, I mean, why?
Last thing you need at that point.
I mean, we are mostly on antisocial, but you didn't want to go in because of the social distancing and not touching things and breathing
why,
on people.
Yeah, why that wasn't what I was out doing, and I did not have any inclination to do that in a deviation from my plan.
Right, and you know, we have a system; it's working for us. We're putting fuel into our containers. We're using the little terminal. It's bad enough we have to touch the terminal, but you know, we wash our hands as soon as we get back, so everything is okay. And now, because we did that three times, we flagged some kind of system, and now we have to talk to somebody. No, that's not going to happen. This is what people don't realize, is that they have control over situations like that. They don't have to follow the rules. They don't have to do this because a machine tells them to. We just took out another credit card and used that one. It worked just fine. I might have to talk to my credit card company if they turned off my credit card, but it's stupid if they did that. But that's the system. That's how it works. We have diesel in our furnace. We have a warm house right now, and we didn't fall victim to any of the stupidity that we were confronted with.
Yeah, when we get back there later, we'll certainly be happy that we took care of it. And of course, the snow is sort of melting. It didn't end up staying. It's not like one of those really, really cold. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to get very icy tonight.
Yes.
So definitely everyone should be careful out there on the roads.
If you're thinking of going out and driving fast tonight and taking turns quicker than you usually do, bad idea. Don't do that.
Because it's had this opportunity to really get wet and melt a lot today. And that means a lot of those snow banks and stuff, they're going to be, you know, a lot more solid than you might think. So be careful running through and over things like that. It's okay maybe when it's a little bit warmer during the day, but definitely there's going to be ice in places and obstructions from the snow and the snow removal and stuff, remediation.
I know I've asked this before, but why does ice need to be slippery? Why can't it just freeze and be not slippery? It would make things so much more convenient for us. We'd be able to drive fast on it. It would be good because it would be like a, you know, pavement, but I don't know. I don't design these things. I'm sure there's a scientist somewhere at Stony Brook that can explain it to me in depth. Maybe someone already has.
Maybe sandpaper is a state of matter.
There are planets where that is the case. You know, I found this, I've been browsing Netflix last few nights, finding interesting series, and one of them is called Alien Life. And basically, it's a four-part series. It's kind of like a documentary, but they go into what alien life would look like on other planets. And since we are now concluding that there are trillions of other planets, it's a good bet that there's life on some of them. And just basically, it's a very scientific look at, okay, what would a planet with a dense atmosphere be like? You know, what kinds of creatures would live there? You'd have these massive flying creatures that would just sort of be able to float in that dense atmosphere. They'd be subjected to predators, but they'd be able to protect themselves in various ways. And there's incredible animation that shows exactly what they would look like. And that's the kind of thing that I really like to think about and look at.
It's like given a certain particular set of environmental constraints, what shape do the known biological structures that we're aware of, mm-hmm. like how would they operate under those conditions, sort of thing?
Yeah, and you know, the planet would be different, you know, because the gravity would be very heavy, along with the atmosphere. So if one of these creatures landed on the ground, they couldn't, they're too heavy to take off again. So when a mother lays eggs, I think these particular creatures laid eggs, she's basically giving up her life. You know, she's doing that, going down to the ground, and then the newborns they have to figure out how to start flying, and they have to do it quickly because there are these other creatures, these boneless creatures that just basically roll around and consume anything that gets in their way. And they're one of the predators of only the baby creatures. It's fascinating because it's, you know, imagination. But if you watch a series on any network, don't make the mistake that I always make of going to the website imdb.com and reading reviews, because the people who write reviews on that website hate everything. So they will always tear down any particular plot, any particular presentation, as if they were all Steven Spielberg, you know, and could do it better. The more cynical people, I've never seen people this cynical and negative constantly. Sure, there are a few good reviews, good intelligent critiques that get through, but most people are just so depressingly sour, you know, all the time. Like, there is this really interesting series, I thought it was interesting, called Away, where basically these people are going to Mars. It's the story of the first expedition to Mars. It's fiction, obviously. And I thought they did a really good job. I mean, there was a bit of melodrama in it, but it's about the people. So there's going to be melodrama. You're going to hear about the cranky daughter back home who is upset that her mother's going to Mars and is going to be away for 3 years. Okay, there's going to be some time devoted to that. I know. Deal with it. Instead, people are complaining constantly about all that. And of course, there's drama in space where there are problems, where something breaks and has to be fixed. I see reviews, people saying, you know, oh, there's the predictable crisis in the middle of the mission, but you know they're going to survive, or this person's going to survive because there's 10 episodes of the series. So who are you angry at exactly? The fact that you know there are 10 episodes of the series, the fact that they told you there are 10 episodes, what exactly? I mean, yeah, do you want no drama whatsoever, no suspense, no crises, just a boring trip to Mars? What is it that you are after here? People are just so quick to be critical. And if you believe that, if you read that as your main source, you'll be as critical too. You'll feel negative about things. And I think it extends to people you see in everyday life. If they're constantly negative about things, it's gonna rub off on you as well. And I'm not saying be positive for no particular reason, or, you know, see good where there is no good, but, you know, this constant tearing down, I think, is bad for all of us. So I recommend that series, Away. I won't tell you how it ends. It got canceled, probably because of all the negative people. But I think the effects, especially when they do spacewalks, wow, those are incredible. You feel like you're in space. You really do. And you realize this is going to happen someday. It's going to happen. In fact, next month, there are going to be 3 different expeditions landing on Mars. Not with any people, obviously. The NASA one, going to be 7 minutes of terror. That's where you don't know what's happening for 7 minutes. One critique I had for Away, for that show, was that they kind of bent the rules as far as communication. People were using their cell phones on the ship, talking to their family back home with no delay whatsoever up until a certain point. And at that point, okay, you can't talk directly anymore. It's, you know, you can only send pre-recorded videos and they'll take an hour to get back. It's just like they changed the laws of physics. I'll let them get away with that. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm not going to let it bother me. The overall story was fascinating, and I thought the effects were done quite well. But anyway, I wasn't planning on mentioning any of that, but I just figured it should be said.
Yeah, those kind of details are important. Mm-hmm. Parts of that are like certainly possible, but other parts, yeah, like delays and latencies should have some kind of structure to what you're trying to convey if you really want it to fall into the background of the story.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, these things are, you know, kind of important, being able to escape. And it's important to escape from all the news that we usually focus upon and, again, more negativity in the real world. But how about some good news? We have a little bit of that.
Yes, please.
North Carolina is discontinuing their license plates with Confederate flags. Did you know about these?
No.
Yeah, it turns out there were certain license plates that were issued with the Confederate flag. The Sons of Confederate Veterans was a civic, or it still is a civic organization. And that gets them a specialty plate. If you're a civic how do you become a civic organization?
I think it's probably a nonprofit status, right?
We could become a civic organization.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure the campus has a couple civic organizations.
Huh.
Stony Brook, you know? I mean, or clubs, right? It's some kind of a club, but it's probably under some kind of nonprofit.
All right. We have to figure this out. But they basically used that status to get Confederate flags put on the license plates. Well, North Carolina caught on to that, and he said no more. They could send the wrong message. Probably not the wrong message in the eyes of the people putting it there, but definitely the wrong message in the eyes of everybody else. And as of January 1st, they have been discontinued. The Division of Motor Vehicles has determined that license plates bearing the Confederate battle flag have the potential to offend those who view them. We have therefore concluded that display of the Confederate battle flag is inappropriate for display on specialty license plates, which remain property of the state. I can hear all the conspiracy theorists out there saying, aha, that proves it. Yeah, no, license plates belong to the state. I knew that.
No, this is right. This is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. There are plenty of other surfaces on your car that you can modify or emblazon it with. This is something you do not get a say in.
I'll encourage them to put more Confederate flags on their cars.
They don't need encouragement. I'm just pointing out that this is an area that they do not get to dictate.
Larry McClooney Jr.
Oh?
Would disagree with you. I have him right here.
All right, what's Larry?
No, actually, he's not here. He's the commander-in-chief of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. All right, Larry, first of all, Larry, you're part of a group, okay, that is basically representing a war or I don't even know what you're representing. You can't be sons of veterans unless you're something like 120 years old. So you're sons of sons or something like that. You're somehow related to the wrong side of a war. Okay. I don't know how you're commander in chief. What does that mean? What are you commanding? The war is over. Really? The war is over.
I think it's probably a 5-gallon decanter of room temperature coffee and a large container of pastries.
That's what he's commander in chief of?
Probably.
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm honestly curious. Anyway, Larry said in an interview last night that the license plates were no different than those displayed by members of other civic organizations and accused North Carolina officials of trying to erase history. No different? If they were no different, we wouldn't be having this conversation, Larry. The whole point is they are different. They're offensive. They have racist signs on them, racist artwork, whatever you want to call it. The Confederate flag is a racist symbol. This is not news. This is not something that's really debatable. I mean, yeah, you can debate anything these days, but no, we choose not to. It's a fact. It's racist. It doesn't belong on a license plate. And as far as erasing history, no, nobody's erasing history. We're erasing present-day displays of racism. Okay? That's present. We're erasing those displays. That's because of history that we are doing that. Because we know the history. You might want to study the history and learn something about the symbol.
And how about the ongoing and enduring history of how that symbol is representing present day repudiation of equality and so many things that were fought for and written into law? It's being appropriated to this day mm-hmm. by groups like this to commit the kind of harassment and assault and gather around something that we saw on the 6th of January and in many other ways over the last many years. Decades.
Yeah, I think that guy carrying a Confederate flag into the Capitol building really, if he was looking to promote that cause, he did the exact opposite because more people were horrified by that sight and are working harder than ever to make sure any displays of that symbol are no longer around. Anyway, Larry continues, what we see here is just an attack on American history. We live in an era where all it takes is for one or a couple of people to say I'm offended by it, yet the majority has to kowtow to it. So basically, Larry, what you are saying is that most people are not offended by this blatant sign of racism, and you're okay with that. You see what you're kind of saying here? I mean, you know, if you display a swastika in Germany, you don't really make that argument because people there know that kind of thing is not acceptable and they will take action quickly. How is it any different? How is it any different? It's a relic of the past of a side in a conflict that lost, where there is tremendous ugliness that was promoted by that side. You know, Holocaust, slavery, that kind of thing. These are indisputable facts. You can't go back and rewrite it and say, oh, no, we were never for that. We didn't do that. Someone else did that. No, no. You can say it, sure. And you have the right under the First Amendment to say it. But everyone else has the right to call you an idiot for saying it and to not listen to you anymore. We don't have to listen to idiots. That's what I want the saying for 2021 to be. We don't have to listen to idiots. That doesn't mean ignore them. Doesn't mean let them get away with anything. I guess what better way to go into what everybody is talking about, the lunatic representative from Georgia. What's her name?
Margie.
Yeah.
Margie Green.
What's the middle name?
Taylor.
Okay.
Taylor.
Marjorie. You're making fun of the accent again. I don't think the accent necessarily tells the story. It does in many cases, but
how would you pronounce it?
Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I think it's
Taylor Greene.
I think it's, well, that's how I talk. It's terrible that her last name is Green, you know, because
with an E though.
With an E. Okay, so I guess that's CE for error.
Evil.
Okay, that's better. So there is a move now in Congress and in other places as well. Well, first of all, to strip her of the title that she's been given, the committee that she has been awarded, which I don't understand how that ever happened, but also to get her ass kicked out of Congress in the first place. She never should have been elected. She was elected. She was elected by people in, I believe, Northwest Georgia. And I think they can do something as far as having a recall. I think that's really up to them. But when you have a representative going around calling for the execution of other representatives, calling for the lynching of Barack Obama and the execution of Hillary Clinton, the list just goes on and on. When you have somebody who is saying that the Parkland massacre was fiction, it's you're basically dealing with people that will argue gravity. They will argue if the sky is blue. It doesn't matter. Facts have no meaning anymore. And to propel them to a position where what they say is equal to what people who know what they're talking about are saying, I don't know what kind of craziness that is, but it's certainly not doing us any good. And now we have at least two people like that in the House of Representatives. It makes for some interesting conversation, news coverage, things like that. And you get to find out what people are really made of insofar as how they condemn her or if they condemn her. I mean, Lindsey Graham, I heard him saying that he wants to know if she still believes these things. She said it a year or two ago. You know, even if she suddenly had some kind of epiphany and no longer believes all the things she was saying, it's very disturbing still, because while she was running, she certainly believed in it. And I don't think you can just snap your fingers and wipe all that ugly away. So, you know, we have a lot of reckoning to deal with here. And she's one person. When we saw the ugliness on January 6th, there were lots and lots of people like that. People calling for blood. People believing these crazy conspiracies that are completely disproven, have been many, many times. Doesn't matter. You can't get into conversations with people who believe in these conspiracies. It never, never ends. Have you ever tried, Kyle? Have you tried to, like, refute somebody?
No.
Good. You saved yourself a lot of time because, you know, let's go for the birther thing. Remember Barack Obama went to the trouble of presenting his birth certificate to shut those people up, led by Donald Trump. He did that. Nope, not enough. Yeah, it's a birth certificate, but we don't accept it. No particular reason. It doesn't fit with our narrative. So we don't accept that. You know, the physics involved in 9/11 and how people believe that there was a plot for each and every plane, or that there were no planes, all kinds of craziness. Always avoiding the issue of, well, where did all the people go then? Maybe they didn't exist in the first place. Maybe none of this is real. If you get into the conversations, these conversations never end. You never get to the point of someone saying, you know what? You're right. That doesn't make any sense. Hadn't thought about that before. Thanks for enlightening me. Doesn't go that way. You think in your mind it's going to go that way, but it doesn't. It doesn't. So I'm in favor of science. I'm in favor of, you know, just basically looking at facts, analyzing facts, talking with experts, debating, questioning, and coming to a resolution. Not assuming that the whole world is in on something. The people who believe COVID-19 is fake. There are people who believe that. People who listen to us who believe that. It's really, really disturbing. But if you basically elevate them to a position where what they're saying is legitimate, they've already won. And you've given them so much time and you've wasted so much of your own. These people have to be dismissed. And you can't ignore them because they're dangerous. Things like January 6th will happen, but you can do everything you can to limit whatever power they have. I think kicking their asses off of Twitter is a good start, because when you have people, I'm in favor of people saying controversial things, but when you have people saying things that directly hurt other people, such as don't get a vaccine for COVID-19, you get people like that having more and more power because they're speaking to bigger and bigger audiences, that's irresponsible. That's something that we should not be allowing, and we should use whatever power we have to keep that from happening. If we have control over websites or bandwidth or anything, we stop that. We speak out against it. And that in no way is cutting anyone's First Amendment rights. You have the right to say whatever stupid nonsense you say, but others have the right to refute it and act upon that.
And refuse to amplify it.
Exactly. Why do we have to amplify these things? You know, if somebody came to WUSB and said, I want to do a show about all of this, QAnon stuff. I want to do a QAnon weekly show. You think that's going to land? You think it's going to land on any station? Well, maybe there are a couple. I don't know. I hope not. But no, you have no obligation to do that. You have no obligation to have somebody who believes that the Earth is flat next to a physicist every time you talk about something involving science on television. No. One side has knowledge, one side has none. I know that doesn't make everybody happy, but that's the way it is. And if we're going to accomplish anything, we have to start being assertive. And I hope Democrats get this. You know, there's talk about kicking Marjorie Greene off panels and things like that, even if the Republicans don't cooperate. I hope they are strong. I hope they put the hammer down in many, many ways, not just with that, but with getting things done. Like this COVID relief bill, $1.9 trillion. Yeah, we need that. Republicans, I cannot believe this. They're saying that we don't have the money. We can't afford this. Are you really denying that COVID-19 is happening and decimating people all around us? Businesses, careers, individual lives? You see what's happening. You see the death toll. You see the number of people in the hospitals. These are indisputable facts, and yet you want to cut it not even in half, not even a third, less than that. It's an insult. And, you know, I'm glad Joe Biden met with 10 supposedly moderate Republicans yesterday. But I think he's holding firm, saying that $1.9 trillion, my biggest worry is that it's not enough. Exactly. And Republicans are the same people who gave out more than that, more than $1.9 trillion in tax reductions for the people who needed tax reductions the least, the richest people. How about all those people give that money back? Would that satisfy you? I'd be happy with that. It's hypocritical at best, criminal at worst. So I hope that Democrats really learn something from all these years where they've been victims. It's time to be assertive, to do what's right, and help people. And if they don't get it after they're helped by your direct actions, the bigger fool's them. But I honestly think people will see once something actually happens.
It's a huge part of the steps that need to be taken to get this system working the way it has for so many years. Whether it's, you know, really worked for everyone, of course, there's critiques to go around, but that's what's in front of us. That's what we're collectively agreed to cooperating in, and the relief needs to come and come quickly for those who most need it and whom will be out there working as soon as they possibly can and trying to put their lives back together,
mm-hmm.
Especially when the health crisis has subsided more than it has. It has been improving, but not enough. And it's going to be a while. We have to really double down and remain patient.
Yeah, but things are getting done. You know, it's not like the previous administration where basically we were lied to and told, yeah, things are happening and nothing was happening. And when the transition happened, there was no plan. There was no plan to give the new administration. That is criminal. That is truly criminal, and I hope there are severe consequences for the people behind that. But right now, you know, there are vaccines out there, not enough, but steps are being taken to increase that.
I think a lot of the details of that process are coming to light, and people are really ironing through that as the federal organization ramps up production and irons out some of the distribution kinks, if any. But the local stuff, the more information people have about how that's going everywhere and what kinds of things have worked, and the faster we can implement some of those strategies, I think the better shape we'll be in. And perhaps by that time, a lot of the production and manufacturing will be at a scale that it can really, really deliver for everything that's set up.
Yeah, in just 2 weeks, we've gotten it up to, I think, 1.5 million doses a day being administered, which is great. It was, I know Biden's goal was to have, initially was to have 1 million a day. And I remember people were laughing at this, saying, that's impossible, because Trump basically I think it broke maybe 2 million in a month or something pathetic like that. And so when Biden is saying a million a day, which is what you need at least that, people are saying, how are you going to do that? Now it's 1.5 million. And people are criticizing, saying it's not enough. And it's not enough, yeah, but don't blame him. He's pushing it as much as possible. And we are making progress. So I think that's something that what are we looking at on TV there?
Oh, just some of the vaccination sites. I think these ones are on the West Coast at some of the stadiums out there. But
the
I know
line of cars, like four rows deep, going on for a mile. Look
really
like.
Incredible stuff. And I know that they're doing the same. I'm not sure about the vaccination site on campus. I think there's another campus in the SUNY system.
Yeah, Southampton.
On the island that is vaccinating.
Yeah, I don't think there's a vaccine site yet on campus.
I think they down the road, if it becomes necessary, could certainly do that with the stadium or some of the areas on campus, and would not be surprised if there's more information about that in the future. But I do know that some of the stadiums in the boroughs, I believe in the Bronx, at Yankee Stadium and also City Field, I think is being considered.
No, they're going to open those two when there are more doses that arrive, and that hopefully will be happening soon. And
they will be substantial throughput wise because there's plenty of people in those areas that could get in the doors. So yeah. if they have the capacity, I'm sure that would be a really good thing to have happen, and they want it to happen soon.
Yeah, there are. Elected officials are not standing in the way of the vaccine being distributed, as far as I can see, at least not now. In the past, it was a lot of ignorance and refusal to believe that the crisis was, in fact, a crisis. I think we're all on the same page now. So it's basically a question of paying attention and making sure that people fulfill their promises.
We're not fighting the messaging from our own leadership right. as much, which is exactly what was enduring in the first year of this.
Yeah.
It's sad what we're finding out about, but it's really not worth dwelling on either.
Mm-hmm.
Got to think ahead.
But, you know, if there is mismanagement, I want to hear about it. You know, I want to know. I got to say, New York Attorney General looking into Cuomo for allegedly undercounting nursing home deaths, I trust her. I do not trust any Republicans, particularly Lee Zeldin, our representative, who will never resist any opportunity to criticize Cuomo or Biden or even de Blasio for some reason. This is somebody who participated in an insurrection and tried to overturn an election. You have no right to criticize somebody for giving a bad count. Let the people who know what they're talking about, let the people have some degree of morality, I guess.
Yeah, you haven't earned oversight authority.
No, not at all. Not at all. So look, if he did something bad with that, yeah, go after him. But not Republicans. I don't trust you. I'm sorry. You basically lost that. Okay, so we're talking about a third stimulus check of $1,400. Hopefully that will happen as well. Republicans want to bring that down to 600. How can you support them when they're literally cutting a $1,400 payment down to $600 and saying that's enough? You know that's not enough.
I thought it was 1,000. They're down to 600 now?
It was 600. Might be they're bobbing all over the place.
Wow.
I think it might be 1,000.
Okay. I haven't been keeping
But they're cutting people off much earlier. You know, like if you make $40,000, you're fine. No, you're not, and people know this. So, listen to the what people are saying and judge them based on that.
Also, unemployment insurance is in there as a big factor in calculating this relief package and so forth. So, let's hopefully we'll have more to say about it, but that's ongoing.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's time. It's time for our weekly feature, Films of the Year That Was.
1990.
The second part of 1990, because we already talked about Dances with Wolves last couple of times.
Couple times,
but
yeah.
We didn't see the foreign film until the other night. And the foreign film is called what now?
Journey of Hope by Xavier Koller.
Yeah, he's a Swiss guy. But the film was mostly in Turkish.
It's the story of a Turkish Alevi family. I believe that's a
It's a sect.
A sect. Yeah. I was going to say a group of people.
And I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I never even heard of it before.
Like an ethnic group within... Yes. Turkish ethnic group.
Yeah.
Trying to legally emigrate...
Sunni Muslim, I believe. Or it might be Shiite. It's one of them.
Don't get that wrong. Trying to illegally emigrate to Switzerland, a country they know only from a postcard that a friend sends.
And a goat chewed part of it, yeah. It's a good film. It's a really good film. Because, you know, what I liked about it was that it was all... filmed on location. They're basically getting onto a boat, getting into a truck, taking trains, and you're actually at the locations where they're doing these things. You see the Naples train station in Italy, and
this kind of storytelling has been done a lot more since. Mm-hmm. And it really does feel it all but a documentary, but just with fictional characters.
Exactly.
It feels like that. Reminds me of many other stories that have come out in contemporary context.
I read one review of this where someone said it was very hard to realize that these people weren't actually experiencing what they were going through and that they were just actors. I agree. It seemed like they were really going through this, and I felt the pain and challenges that they were feeling. So basically, it's a husband and wife and one of their seven children. They initially were going to leave them all behind, but they decided to take one with them. And they're simply seeking a better life in Switzerland. And they're told that opportunity awaits them there. There's nothing for them back home. And you feel that desire. And most of us have relatives who did the exact same thing.
I really like how it captivated captivated me with the sense of bittersweetness. Mm-hmm. The selling of all your livestock to get the money that then people are swindling you for. I mean, just that dynamic up and down of just that kind of parallels the journey in different ways. It kills you because you know that the person taking the money, it's not that much to them, but to this person, it's everything. And you know it in a couple scenes before, it was a herd of sheep or whatever part of their livelihood in one place they're trying to use to transplant to a new place that may have even more opportunity. And that, I think, is really well shown.
What I liked was the interpersonal relationships and how you saw them change. For instance, a truck driver is supposed to give these three a ride from one part to another part. I think he was Turkish as well, but he spoke German. I'm not even sure, to be honest, but he was very gruff at the beginning and demanded a certain price and wasn't going to yield on that. But by the end of their journey, they were close friends, and it was mostly because of the kid. You know, this little 8-year-old kid was so endearing that he just was completely won over and became best friends. And that kind of thing happened over and over again, where these people were just enamored by this little kid who just was smiling all the time and you know, playing around and just basically shining a light where otherwise it would be dark. And, you know, it's a feel-good film in a way, but it's not a feel-good film overall. I won't give away the specific ending, but I will say that it leaves you really considering how we treat refugees, how we treat people trying simply to get a better life, who want to earn an earnest and honest living, and how we make things so much more difficult for them. I was watching this and realizing, you know, it's not that difficult back then. Getting over borders, they seem to be doing all right. It catches up to them, and there are all kinds of challenges towards the end. The thing that really got me, though, was I will give away the last line of the film. So if you don't want to know about this, it's very hard to film to get. So it's very unlikely you'll see this. But the very last line after they fail in their attempts to immigrate to the West, the very last line that the protagonist says to one of the people that had been trying to help him and wasn't able to, was, I would have liked to have been your friend. And that's it, you know? That's really what it's all about, is that people just want to be a part of something better, you know? And they want to contribute. They want to be a part of it. And to be treated like a criminal because of that, when so many of us are here because one of our relatives did that exact same thing, but perhaps they were of a different color or a different religion or just happened to be luckier. And yet we're so quick to judge today the motivations and the value of people based on nothing, really, just the propaganda we're told. So it hit hard. It really did. It's a really good film, very underrated, very hard to find. Journey of Hope, Swiss film with a lot of Turkish, some German, and definitely one of those gems.
Yeah, a lot of 90s cars and kind of old vehicles along the way, because it's out there in the world, and you can pick up little bits of what was going on those locations.
Uh-huh. So that's 1990, the foreign film that won the Academy Award, Journey of Hope. And we'll come back with 1991 next, whenever we do this next. Okay, watching on, we shouldn't have the TV on while we do this, but I just see they identified the woman who had a battering ram and was trying to get into the Capitol, or did get into the Capitol. That's good. You know, if you knew somebody, would you narc them out? I would. I'm not
somebody.
A narc, but I would, you know, if someone's doing something like that, where they're trying to, you know, basically overthrow democracy, yeah, I think I might rat them out. I think I might do that. I have no guilt for that.
Yeah, I don't think I would feel too bad about that.
Look, would you identify somebody who you know, stole your own car or set your own house on fire? Yeah, I think you would do that. I think you'd say, yeah, that crossed the line.
Yeah.
But it's not just here. It's all over the place. This Alexei Navalny character, you've been following his story, right? This is the guy.
Opposition leader or
politician. What did he do? Was he a politician? I don't even know. He's a rich guy, right?
He's tried. Yeah, he's tried to get in the mix there, yeah.
Okay, but it seems to me his biggest crime was basically criticizing Vladimir Putin.
Well, opposing him, running against him, trying to be a contender.
But that's what elections are. That's what they should
be. Yeah, but the thing about that in Russia is...
I know.
I think Putin's really a fan of not being Putin, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, not because his identity's wrapped up in that position, I think.
Okay, I'm told it was for embezzlement. I'm not really sure what the circumstances are. He was originally on probation for that. But here's the thing. Today, he got sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. But do you know why he was sentenced for 2.5 years in prison? Because he violated probation. Do you know why he violated probation? Because he was in Germany after he got poisoned in Russia, and he went there so that his life could be saved. Because in Russia, they weren't even admitting that he was poisoned. And in Germany, they're like, oh yeah, this is poison. And he recuperated. But because he did that, because he was in Germany recuperating, he violated his probation. This sounds like the kind of thing that you'd see in the American prison system as well. But it's almost funny, but boy, people are upset.
No, it's not funny.
It's not funny in that way. I'm not laughing. But it's crazy? Is that a better word for it?
I can see why the impulse might be to laugh, but do not for a second think that it's funny.
No, it's not funny. But neither is Marjorie Greene. She's not funny either.
No.
None of this is funny.
She is unhilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. So that's happening. All kinds of protests in Russia. I think several thousand people arrested over the weekend. Who knows what's going to happen now that he's being sent to prison. And keep in mind, this is a guy that they tried to kill, and now he's in prison? What do you think is going to happen? Very, very dark times. Oh, and the coup in Myanmar. I'm sorry, we're not going to have time to get into that.
Yeah, Aung San Suu Kyi is in prison as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have that much sympathy for her because of the way, you know, she treated people who were being subjugated. But we don't have time for that either. But it's fascinating. It is interesting.
She ignored a lot of bad stuff there.
She did. And it just goes to show that if you're a hero one day, you might not continue being a hero the next day.
So be an anti-hero every day.
Be an individual and just basically, yeah, to your own self be true and that kind of thing. Any closing thoughts? We have 2 minutes to kill. It doesn't usually happen. Usually we run out of time, but
I don't know. I figured out my New Year's resolution. You want to hear it?
A month after New Year's? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it just came to me today, and I know we've been talking about a lot of crazy, but mine, I realize this year, I'm not going to overdo it. I promise. But personally, I think I'm going to be just slightly weirder. Because now, hear me out. A lot of the cool stuff that I've done and that I've been involved with is either because I'm a little weird or because it's weird, or they're just cool things, but they're weird. So I'm going to take that as license to attenuate my weirdness just slightly, just turn it up a little bit weirder.
You're wearing a Bozo the Clown outfit. I mean, and you're claiming you're going to get more weird than that. I mean, it's radio. I don't even know why you dress up for it.
No, that you weren't supposed to mention that.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that, but then you say you're going to get weirder. I have to worry.
I just wanted to be that. I didn't need to announce that I was. Anyway, now that you pointed me out, it's.
I'm wearing a Christianity is Stupid t-shirt, which, you know, I went out to shovel a little bit earlier, and I had to wear another shirt over it because I didn't want the neighbors to see. But this is a Negative Land shirt, okay? I used to be able to wear this, and people got the humor. And it's not even something that someone critical of Christianity said. It's actually what a preacher said, because he was warning that one day the world would be filled with loudspeakers saying Christianity is stupid, and they made a track out of it. But these days, I have to be very, very careful, because there's all these, like, you know, Trumpers and pickup trucks that, I don't want to have to mute myself.
Yeah, they're not really that Christian, though.
No, but they know how to read, and they would take offense.
Yeah, you are actually wearing that.
But check it out, folks. Christianity is Stupid is an amazing track by Negative Land from the 1980s. It's well worth it. And the shirt is from the 1980s. And look how well it's been preserved, probably because I've only worn it 3 times. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. You can listen to all previous episodes of Off the Wall on our website, www.2600.com/off the wall. You can continue listening to Off the Wall and Off the Hook wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, just continue listening to WUSB as well, and stay tuned for Finn coming up next. Hey, it's Groundhog Day. I mentioned that, and I found a track from WUSB's own late great Lou Stevens, all about groundhogs, from our vinyl collection. Have a good night.
Bye.
Hold and look around. He looked to the east, he looked to the west, and he headed straight towards my chest. He said, groundhog coming to get me. Groundhog, how they can see me. He didn't make a sound. I wish I never stuck that fog. In the ground. So big before, never saw a groundhog with so much balls. He was black and gray, the size of a dog. I was turning white by the side of the road. I said, groundhog coming to get me. Groundhog probably could see me. He didn't make a sound. I wish I never stuck that phone. True, but you know that old groundhog looks a lot like you. I say, groundhog coming again.